All right.
What's up, George? What's going on in the House of Craze tonight?
Oh, in the House of Craze, we have an old friend, Mr. Wilson Ramos, will be on talking to us. And we're also going to be talking about that secret sauce.
That's coming up next. My salsa. Salsa. Let's get it.
Show for independence all around, giving you a platform to spread your word all over town. Cast the Craze is the place to promote to your fans with the dream of Medina and Sam the Crazy Man. Subscribe to our show and never miss an episode. It's time to get your mats, listen to us on the go. Updated every week, we never miss a day. Join the squad, come on in, it's time to cast the Craze. If you are an independent,
cast the Craze.
Making moves on your own,
cast the Craze.
On your grind in the streets,
cast the Craze.
Join the movement.
Catch the Craze.
Yeah, George, we did it again. Come on now. Yeah, you want to do it. Catch the Craze.
Welcome to Catch the Craze Podcast. I'm your host with the most, Sam the Crazy Man Vera, and I am with
George the Dreamer Medina. Welcome everyone to another exciting episode of Catch the Craze. We are here today. We're going to be talking to Wilson Ramos, we've been knowing Wilson for a very, very long time. He worked at Marvel at one point. He's got his own independent comics that he's worked on. He's a colorist. He's a letterer. He's done a lot of things in the industry.
Mucho.
We're going to be talking to him in a few minutes. We're also going to be, have our Get Your Meds segment. But if you haven't yet, please subscribe to the channel. Make sure you like, comment. Make sure you hit that bell so that you know when we are launching another episode. It is May 20th at this point. We're launching.
Yes.
So what's going on, Sammy? How you doing, my friend?
What's going on?
What's happening, man?
Yo, man. The weather out here is freaky, bro.
It's frightful.
Yo, bro, it is. It's like Sahara hot. Yo, it goes from one extreme to the next. One day is dark and cloudy and stormy. The next day, you're in Lucifer's kitchen. I'm like, yo, what the hell just happened?
It's. I mean, at least you guys get rain. Like my sister, she's in Cali, and they don't get rain at all, dude. Like,
they're garnishing their freaking water. They're limiting now. They can only water twice a week.
It is bad, man. They have a whole schedule as to when they can even water their grass and stuff.
Now it's down to 2 days a week. I just
two
saw
days,
it.
Yeah. Oh man. Yeah. Listen.
Because we're on a 3 day a week schedule, but in where I am, it's 3 days a week, and it has to be a specific day of the week. Texas, around from June through August, it's that drought season.
Drought season.
Okay. Yeah, that's when it gets tough, and that's when they they'll start telling you to moderate your water and all that stuff.
Yeah, that makes
sense. I mean, when you see the gecko coming looking for water. I'm like, they're punched. I'm like, yo, I'm like, so I gotta take the hose and spray them, and they're like, thank you, sir, kind sir, thank you, kind sir.
Your dogs are trying to eat them.
Oh, my dogs can't even stand out when it's this hot. My dogs go out there for like 2 minutes, and they're ready. I'm like, really, you only been out here 2 minutes, and they're like, yeah, I'm going back in.
Oh, that is funny. Oh man, they're northeastern dogs, man.
Yeah, they have it too good.
Then
too
I used
good.
To that. Then I used to the hot weather with and all that stuff. That's
especially in the garage, because I don't have a fan in the garage. When I would go to the garage to work out,
Yeah.
It's like a furnace. And so they'll go in there. The only one stays with me, and that's Bentley. He'll stay there no matter what. He's my ride or die. Everybody else, like, yo, we out. Like, yo. And Bentley will stay there like this. He's out on his back like this. How long? When are you going to stop?
Yeah, make sure you got water in there for the young man.
Yeah, I always do. Yeah, it's crazy.
Boy, holy cow. And then, so next week, you will be traveling to an even hotter location, Vegas.
Yeah.
Vegas is happening next week.
Good thing is that I'll be indoors the whole time.
Yes.
I'm not planning to hang out on the strip. I'm not doing any of that stuff. I get there Monday morning.
Yeah.
And for the licensing expo. That's going to be off the chain.
Bam.
I'll be booth D104. I'll get there Monday. My buddy's gonna meet me there to help me set up my booth, and then Monday night at midnight, my other buddy shows up because he'll be there with me for the 3 days for the event. I'm getting ready for that. I'm going from hotel to expo, and then I'm there Friday. It's my downtime to you know put all my notes together, and you know my boy will be gone. He leaves Thursday afternoon. So I'll have to take down the booth by myself on Thursday.
Oh, dude,
sucks. And
tear down and you know, putting everything up are probably the worst parts of like
if you're doing an artist alley table is one thing, but you're doing an entire 10-foot by 10-foot booth with all the walls the wallpaper art and all that stuff, whatever. So it's just that's gonna be I'll be there like, oh, good Lord.
But that sucks, bro.
Yeah, like, that sucks.
Taking that down, dude.
And then
I guess putting it up is going to be cool because you have a lot of new props that you're going to be putting up, walls of these, you know, images and stuff like that. So that's cool. So that's going to be nice. But then tearing all that stuff down, then you got to take the trip back, you know, the flight back. Hopefully everything goes well, dude. I think you're making some pretty good connections already, right, behind the scenes.
Yeah, making a lot of good connections out there, so that's going to be dope. We'll see. You know, I'm excited about it. Got to figure out the. I'm going to try to have like a bowl of like candies.
Yeah.
Because it's just to do like a case of water out there was like $100 and something. I was like, yeah. I said, what do you think this is? You think I'm Warner Brothers?
Can you bring stuff from the outside?
I'm sure in my bag, from the hotel. So when I get there,
you can't bring a case of water in though. That's not going to happen. Like with a cooler.
No, I'm not going to be able to carry all that stuff. Yeah. No. So what I'm going to do is I'm taking a thermos with me so that way I can, fill up my thermos with coffee. So when I'm there, cause I'm a big coffee drinker, and, the good thing is that my booth is adjacent to the food, the food. That's a good thing. So, which is not right next to me, is about a good maybe 50 feet away. I don't have to go far.
I know, but that could be good and that could be bad because food is going to be expensive. If you're right next to the food, you know what I mean? I know you got self-control, so you should be fine.
If the hotel room has water bottles, they're all going with me to the expo.
Bam! I hear you, dog. I hear you. And then when you come back the week after, big launch coming up.
We're launching Duty, bro. Part 2, bro.
Right.
That's exciting. I'm excited about that. And if you backed issue 1, and you're coming back to back issue 2, if you were physical back of issue 1 and you become back to back physically issue 2, you're going to get this bad boy right here. Look at that. That's a magnet.
Oh, my.
That's a magnet. Look how big that bad boy is. This is what you're going to get for free just by backing issue 1 and 2. And as another incentive, if you back the Wonder Duck and you back There's Nail in My Toilet, you'll get this as well. So if you didn't back issue 1, but you back Wonder Duck and you come back and back the campaign, you're going to get this. So there's a great incentive for everybody just for backing. And it's physical backers. Digital backers, you'll get a digital wallpaper for your desktop, but physical backers will walk away with that magnet.
Yo, hit them with a little preview, bro.
Oh, you want the preview already?
Yeah, dog. Let's hit them with the preview. Oh, why wait?
Man. All right, here's the preview. Here it is. Hi, I'm Samuel, and I'm the creator of There's an Alien in My Toilet, issue number 2, coming to Kickstarter. I'm so excited about this series. It's filled with variant covers,
homage covers. And not only that, you get the guidebook, you can get the coloring book, and also the back issue variant covers from issue 1 if you missed that one. But not only that, I'm excited about the activity book. This one is filled with how to draw duty characters, puzzles, mazes, trivia questions, and so much more. But that's not all. I'm introducing Volume 2 of the trading card game. And this one has the element cards, the level 1 cards, the villain cards, the hero cards, and so much more. But then you can also get the stickers. If you missed out on the sticker pack, here's your chance to get as many stickers as you want of some of the most adorable characters from the book. I'm so excited over the years that I've received so many critic reviews, especially the newest one from Mary Dumas from Pop Culture Place, who purchased 5 copies for her store, and she recommends it to every parent that comes along. Thank you so much. I truly appreciate you, Mary. So, I hope that you all come back and support There's an Alien in My Toilet issue number 2. And for all you physical backers that backed us on issue 1 and you're coming back for issue 2, I have a special gift for you. This amazing refrigerator magnet of Super Duty as he does battle against the diabolical egomaniac overlord nemesis, Poo Poo. And that's my way of just saying thank you to every one of you. So if you haven't done so already, please sign up. And when we go live, make sure you pledge. I appreciate every one of you. Have a great day.
I love the music. Like, it's just chill. It's just chill music. You're just chilling. Yeah, awesome, yeah. Awesome. So yeah, so make sure that everybody, you know, hits that notify me button on the pre-launch page. It's in the show notes, so you guys will be able to get that.
Word.
And then I'm excited about, the Kickstarter for Wonder Duck. It's almost, I have about 11 days at this point.
Almost.
I have 11 days left of it. And it's been great, man. I've been, we funded in that 1 hour during that crazy show where we couldn't get it launched and all that fun stuff. So that was great. We got the project we love. The project we love was on there. So that happened. And then, stretch goal. I don't know what stretch goal. Hopefully we've already unlocked Sammy's stretch goal.
Fuego.
That stretch goal. So hopefully that's been unlocked already. And so we'll see. We'll see where we are. I mean, this is, we're recording in the past for the present. For the future in the present. So we don't know where we are, but right now I know that the campaign has been funded. Thank you to everyone who has. And make sure that you catch me on Michael Gracia's show.
Catch me outside.
Catch me on Michael Gracia's Getting Tuned next Tuesday at 8:30 p.m. I'm going to be there live. And if you pledge on this show, I will be giving away these guys. So
Those are fire.
Yeah, man. Hector Rodriguez, bro.
Rodriguez.
And Sean Lee. Big shout out to them. Thank you very much for that piece.
They killed
And them. That's actually the final stretch goal. I don't know if it's unlocked yet. I don't know, but we'll see. We'll see. It's been crazy, man. It's been crazy. It's been really, really nuts. The last day is the first of next week, so it'll be after your launch. Be the last day of that one, and we're going to be on Indie Comics Relay on the 31st, right after our launch for that Sam's night. Book. Yeah. We're going to be at 9 o'clock. We're going to be on Indie.
We
Comics
were on
Relay.
Their show. Wow. I was on their show at the end of the last campaign.
Right. Yeah.
On the last hour of the last campaign, I was on their show.
Yeah.
Now we're going to be there for an hour after the launch, which is crazy.
Yes, an hour after the launch, and then it'll be the day before mine ends. So you'll be able to do, it's a double whammy. So if you guys get on that show, make sure you subscribe to the channel. See us on the 31st of May at 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Word. Make sure you go on this. Sammy's going to be there, after the launch of our show. I mean, after the launch of the campaign on our show, and then we're going to go there. And and again, if you pledge to both campaigns, you're gonna get that magnet. So a lot of stuff going on in the next few weeks. And then for me, it's gonna be freaking getting ready to send everything out to everybody. So that's gonna be a blast.
Yes. It's good to not be on that side of the fence.
You're gonna be there soon, bro. How long is your campaign? 31st.
30 days.
It's a 30-day campaign. Okay.
Yeah.
Mine ended up being 28. It was 28. It was from the 4th through the 1st. So it ended up being 28.
Yeah, the last one I did was only 21 days.
You did do the 21, right?
Yeah, the last time I did 3 weeks.
Did you feel like you needed another week?
I think I could have done more if I had that other week.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think I missed out on some opportunities. I think some people just automatically assume it's a month. And so, yeah, I think, I mean, it was a record breaker. I've never had 86 backers. That was the highest,
you had a lot of backers, bro. That was great.
That was, I was happy about that. But I think, you know, we could have hit 100 if we would have stayed another week.
Yeah.
So this time I'm going to do the 30 to see what happens. And hopefully everybody that was there for the first one comes back for the second one.
Yeah.
So we'll see what go from there.
Yeah, yeah. And I'll have more news on that show as far as like what I'm going to do for the end of the campaign. I'll have some more of that stuff. We're going to go live actually on the last day, on the first. So you guys will be able to get your last fix. And if I have any stragglers, big shout out to everybody. A lot of the people who followed the campaign before it went live have actually pledged to it. So that's a positive.
That's good.
And because you never know who's actually going to pledge. You know, they follow it. You don't know.
Yeah.
And, you know, but it's a lot of stuff that goes on behind the scenes of this stuff, man. It's crazy. But yeah, that's what's going on, dude. And then now we're going to go into get your meds, dog.
Get your meds section, right? Yeah, no, I need some medicine because my tummy's acting funny. But yeah, let's get that med.
It's time for your medicine.
Sharing that secret sauce. My salsa. Dun, dun,
dun, dun. That's salsa, bro. That's,
I know. What's up
now,
with that?
Listen, I know that, you know, I was talking to Sam about this. We're in a, and we always have this discussion about the competition, right? Competition.
You know what number one competition Sammy, is? None. Your mic, my mic. Come on, yo, no equal.
Sammy looks at everything within, you know, not everything. I'm not going to speak for you, but you do believe that there is a lot of, you know, you thrive. I'll say you thrive on competition. You like competition. I do too. I'm a big sports fan. I love competition. I don't necessarily view this as a competition. I don't. But Sam does. And we can talk about that another day. No, it's true. I don't listen. I think that yes, to a certain extent, there is a level of competition, but it's like, to me, it's friendly competition. It's not like, yo, I'm gonna beat your ass. Like when you get on the court, it's about winning that game. And that's a whole different level of competition. This is more friendly competition. It's just, even between us, right? Like, it's just friendly competition. What are you doing? Oh, I'm doing this. It's motivational. You know what I mean? It's we're not trying to put each other down, trying to bring each other up. But the secret sauce, right? Everybody wants to know, yo, how do you do that? How do you do this? How do you do that? How do you do this? If you view this as a competition, you're going to be very leery about giving those secrets away. If you don't, you may say, Hey, have at it, bro. This is what I did. See if it works. Where do you stand on that fence, Sam? What do you think?
So there are things that I share and there's things that I don't share. Right? So So there are things that I share that I've done in the past, right? You know, and if you've listened to any of these shows, whether it's the Crazy Ten or Less or any of the Get Your Med segments, we've talked about things and we've given advice and we have industry tips for the independent creator. But there are things that I do on a DL that I don't share because there are specific things, because I do know that they're, you know, everyone's looking for the secret sauce. Everyone's trying to get that edge. Eventually it comes to the surface and like, oh man, I can't believe he got that. He did that before I got to do it or whatever it is. But I think there are some things you could talk about, you can go on any podcast and everyone's going to have their own perspective on what to do at an artist alley table and how to make your sales and how to do this and all of that. We talk from our own perspective. There are certain things to do to try to get the word out. So what I'm not afraid of is because I know that some of the things that I've done, 98% of the cats out there that are listening to it and saying, yo, that was good advice, won't do it because it requires a lot of time and commitment. And sometimes it's a financial commitment. Sometimes it's a personal commitment. So I'm not worried about it. I'm just saying, this is what I did. You know, I would sit down and I would mail out this many, you know, whatever, and it would cost whatever. So I think it all depends. It all depends on what it is. You know, if it's something that's already been done, you know, it's not going to help. It's not going to hurt me in any way. I'll share whatever it is. But if there's something I'm working on that, you know, I don't want anybody to take and try to rip me on it until I've done it, then I'll just keep it too close to my vest.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that when you watch this show, you know, the Get Your Med segment, it's all about the secret. So the funny thing is, there is no secret to the sauce. Like, this is all common sense. Like a lot of the stuff that you're supposed to do at conventions or setups, or everybody knows that you should have, or everybody should know that you should have a banner behind you, right? That's not a secret. That's not, I'm not reinventing the wheel here when I tell you, hey, get a banner with a name in the back. And if you're a brand, if you're brand new to this game, and this is the first time you ever watch a podcast about stuff like this, make sure you get a banner for your table if you're doing a convention. Make sure it's nice and tall, about 8 feet tall, so they see your name when it comes. To me, that's not a secret. That you can go on, you'll go anywhere and find it. Right. So I think it's funny what some people, you know, think is a secret, or, oh, what are you doing different? Ah, dude, I'm just, like you said, Sam, sometimes it's, I'm just willing to put in the work.
Right.
That's the secret.
That's what it is. That's why there's some things that I share that I'm not really threatened by, because I also know that, you know, and if you're taking offense to this, then maybe it's you. But I'm not, you know, I'm not trying to target anybody, but I do know based on history, there's a lot of cats that won't do it. You know, they'll say, oh, that's great. And you know, it's funny, I was watching I had his name at the top of my head. Anyway, he's a big motivational speaker, and he speaks to a lot of people, and he says that the difference between those who do and those who dream of doing is that those who do understand what they need to do to get it done. Those who dream of doing, they have aspirations, but when they realize the reality, when that comes to play, like, ah, and they pull off and they won't, they're not willing to do those. They have all these lists of why they can't. And that's in every business. And I know that for me, once my mind made up on a specific thing, I'm going to go all in. So I'm not worried about it, because I know that a lot of people are not willing to do those things. They're going to try to circumvent and find an easier way or whatever. Because there's always another way. There's always a better way. There's always a more, you know what I'm saying? You know, technology changes, the industry changes, people change. Yeah. I get that, you know. But I also know that Tylenol has always worked. And so I'm going to use Tylenol because it's always worked.
Yeah. But that, I think what people think is the secret. And there, I don't think that there is a secret. I don't think there is a secret. I think that some people want, okay, all right, fine. You're doing that. And that's cool. That sounds hard. There's got to be an easier way to do it. Tell me how to do it easy. Tell me how to do that, but make it easier for me to do it. Tell me that. And tell me that secret. And honestly, sometimes that secret doesn't exist. It's all hard work. Everything we do in life, forget about just comics, any level of success you want to have in life comes with its difficulty. It's going to be hard. It's not going to be easy. If it's easy, it's illegal. It's not good for you. It's probably not a good idea to do it. If it's easy, it's probably not a good idea to do it. You know what I mean?
If it's easy, it's not going to have long-term impact. And I think what happens is we're in a world of yesterday. I want it yesterday. You know what I'm saying? It's like, you know, it's like when, you know, you hire, look what's happening now, right? Companies are having problems hiring people, right? Because what happens is they come in, you know, they have on their Sunday best, and they come in and they say, you know, they just want the job when they go in. Well, I can't work Sundays. Well, I can't work nights. Well, no, I can't work that. I don't want to do that. Why am I going to climb that ladder? Oh, right. And it's, here comes the list of why I can't. So then those are the cats that complain that, you know, that they're being discriminated against for whatever reason. No, you just hurt yourself. So I think in anything, I think the secret sauce is the hustle. That's the secret sauce. Yeah. In my book, it is the grit, is the mindset. It's what you're willing to do that the other guy's not willing to do.
It's, you know, it's being comfortable with being uncomfortable.
Yeah. You know
what I mean? That's what it boils down to. It's not going to come easy, no matter what you do.
Nothing does. Not.
Look at these Kickstarters, bro. Like, how many times? And, bro, you will do something, and it's all about trial and error, right? Like, even within this campaign, the trial and errors, we were just talking about this before. There are books about this, so this isn't a secret either, about what to do during a campaign, right? Things that you should put in a campaign. Should you put this in the campaign or not, right? Some people say do, some people say don't. But at the end of the day, you got to try it. You know what I mean? In this particular case, it worked for me. You know, you've done it a few times. It hasn't really worked. So you're going to switch that up. Let's make that a little different. It's all trial and error. Yeah. It really is. There is no exact science to this stuff. And listen, we've had guests on this show that have made thousands of dollars on their campaigns. We've had people who have made hundreds of dollars and never made their goals. And it's all...
Who didn't even break 100 in 30 days.
And some of them had the most amazing personalities, right? And still didn't make it. Some of them had no personality and made it. There's no exact science. You really don't know. But what I think the common denominator behind those people that made the 20,000 or whatever, it's the amount of hustle and what they put behind that. Because I'm sure there was money spent to get that done. There were teams hired to help them get there. You know what I mean? So there was a lot of behind the scenes hustle and grit and, you know, spending that money that maybe, like you said, some people aren't willing to spend or can't spend because they don't have it, that led them to their success versus the people who did it.
Yeah. You know? I mean, and some people are extreme like me, you know, like for instance, like every day I've been drawing a new piece to promote Disney in my toilet. Every single day. I'm drawing a new piece. I already got the one for tomorrow already drawn today. Right. So it's like, so every day I'm drawing, I'm fully penciling, inking, coloring it, getting it ready for the promo. Right. And that's just me. And it's just to give somebody, you know, give everybody a different look, a different taste of this, whatever, and get people excited. You know, some people might say, yo, that's overkill.
Some people say, don't do that. Right. Some people say, don't post every day. That's what a lot of people say. A lot of people say, hey, listen, don't do that. That's not good.
Right. You know, but for me, it's like, I feel like there's so much competition. There's so much out there in the market that you have to make sure that you're staying in everybody's mind, because every day there's 5 to 10 new comic book Kickstarters launching every single day. I know, because everybody's trying to get on Catch the Craze to promote their Kickstarters, but we just can't get them all. Right. And so, and I had to turn away almost 20 people. Because like, look, you got to book us in advance. You can't, you know, there's no way I can fit you in. Right.
That's a good point. And right? Like for those people that are watching, make sure you book ahead, like 45 days, at least 45 days. Don't, if your campaign launches, you know, the 1st of June, it's not, we're not going to be able to do anything with it here. It's
I looked on Kickstarter. There was 10 new. Now you got Zoop, you know,
Zoop. Well, yeah.
You know, that, so people are launching on Zoop, on Indiegogo, one Kickstarter. So, so I know how aggressive it is out there. So for me, I said, you know what? I'm going to take it to a new level for me. And I'm going to make sure I have a new dynamic piece of duty that I can put out there every single day in a different scenario, in a different costume, in a different look. So then they oh man, you know, I keep seeing this damn character everywhere, right? And then hopefully that brings them to you.
But that's the word, hopefully, because hopefully it does bring them to you. Hopefully it doesn't turn them off because they're seeing it a lot. But that's a gamble. You got to take some time.
Yeah, and you got to take the risk.
And listen, you have to be willing to, hey, accept the fact that, damn, maybe I overkill. It's like, you know, if you've ever driven an old car and it doesn't turn on, they tell you don't press the gas too much. You're gonna flood it, and you do. Sometimes too much of that gas is no good. So, but again, it all depends on you. It's all about who you are. Like Sam said, I'm the type of person that's how he is. I'm a little different. I don't go hard like that. I don't. I let it breathe. I'm a type of person that, you know,
nobody's breathing tonight.
And that's worked for me. It's worked for me. So I'm comfortable in that space. Now, that doesn't mean that I'm not hitting you up, you know, behind the scenes. I may not be posting every day like that, but that doesn't mean that I'm not going.
No, he's just short. Sure. He's just getting home and he's already at the dinner table. Hey, what's up?
Hey, how's it going, guys? I'm more of that person. I'm going to reach out to you. Yeah, I'm going to reach out to you. I like that. I like that one-on-one. I'm a one-on-one kind of guy. Let's talk one-on-one. That's me. That's how I like to do things. I don't like to leave it up to the cosmos. I'm going to put this out there and see what happens. Hopefully people come. I like to, like, you know, take a little more of like that. Hey, I have this campaign right here. You know what I mean? And I'm not saying I'm not doing it like, you know, you've gotten some of those where it's like, hey, I got a campaign, boom, link. And it's like, dude, how about hello?
No, the worst is, you know, it's like, oh, we hear you back campaigns. You want to back mine?
Damn.
I get those all the time. Damn. Yo, I don't even know these people. They don't say hello. There's no wooing. There's no flowers. There's nothing.
I say,
yo, can I buy you coffee? Straight up, I get a DM. Hey, I hear you back campaigns. Here's mine. You want to back it?
Oh, people are hitting you up with you up?
They're crazy.
Damn. I'm like, yo.
Yo, yeah, no, you heard me. You
no respect.
No respect.
Like, hey, where's my respect? Yeah, no, I mean, you know, and again, it's whatever works for you. Like, and what we're talking about, the secret sauce. Secret sauce is, yo, do what you got, like, just hustle, grind.
That's it.
However
that's
it is, it. You got to grind, grind.
Every day. You know, because I haven't had time to do my, which is very successful, is my drawing segments. And so I was like, all right, you know what? I'll put up the piece because it takes a lot of time to set up the cameras and do all the other stuff. So every day I got something going, and that's my way of, you know, doing it. And for me, it's like, and then when I get feedback, you know, I engage those people, because it's important when, you know, they took the time to give you the feedback, you want to engage them.
Absolutely.
So I think, you know, at the end of the day, there's no right or wrong. There's only try. There's try, commit, hustle, grind. That's it. That's going to make the difference between a successful or non-successful event on your part. That's it. You know?
That's it.
So, yeah, that was Get Your Meds. If you have any feedback on this topic, leave the comment below. Let us know. Hit us up. So what we're going to do is we got our guest in the waiting room, Wilson Ramos, and we're going to be talking to him right now about right after this segment. So again, do you know that we offer sponsorships?
Are you sitting at home wondering how you're going to spread the word about that Comic-Con that you're about to appear at and you want to get some press? How about your first book signing? How do you spread the word so you can get an audience there? Or that first panel at a Comic-Con? Who do you talk to? Or even your first crowdfunding on Kickstarter or Indiegogo? The world is turning to podcasting to get the word out. Why not you? Sponsor an episode of Cast a Craze and start promoting yourself today.
What's up, Wilson? Welcome to the craze.
Hello, my friends. Hello.
Wilson, what's going on, man?
How you guys doing?
Oh, good, man. Good. Long time no see.
It's been quite a while.
Well, I see him all the time on
TikTok.
Yeah.
Yo, he's got the best TikToks. I'm not even going front.
Thank you.
Definitely. But welcome, Wilson. Thank you for coming on the show today. For those who don't know who Wilson Ramos is, just give us a real brief introduction to Wilson Ramos Jr.
Okay, well, Wilson Ramos Jr., I'm a comic book artist, a professional artist in the industry for the last 30 years, and been mainly doing penciling, inking. I do it all. I'm mainly a production artist, is what I would say is my main bread and butter. I put together comic books for just almost everyone in the comic industry. I mainly letter for paper cuts. I do books like The Loud House, Casa Grande, books like that. For Apex Comics, I'm their art director, so I pretty much am their production department. It really depends on the company. I might be doing something for DC or Marvel. It really depends on the company and project. For Marvel, I'm known as a colorist. For DC, I'm known as a letterer. For Dark Storm Comics, I'm their art director there as well. So that's basically it. As a freelancer, I wear many hats, mainly because that's the freelancer life.
Yeah, no, for
and
sure.
When I can, self-publish as well.
There you go. Yeah, you got to add that. So yeah. Tell us about how you got started in the industry, man. Because I mean, for those, again, who follow you on TikTok, you've told the story of how you got into it. But for those who haven't heard, how did you get into this whole comic book industry?
Okay, so basically as my TikTok, which you can follow me under Ramos Comics, is basically where I am all over social network. I started as a intern. Now, right before that, when I was in college, I went to Mercy College in upstate New York.
Mercy.
I hung out in a comic book shop so long they hired me. And it was a way to pay for my comics, pretty much. Nice. But
which one, Wilson? Which one was
it?
That?
It was called Amazing Tales.
Amazing Tales on Central Ave, right? Was that on
No, on Main Street.
Oh, okay. They moved it.
It was on Main Street. Yeah. It was always on Main Street. Mm-hmm. Then it closed down right a little after I left college. So basically, I met a guy who worked at Marvel. During that time, he worked for the conventions department, Gary Guzzo. he owned a comic book shop for a short while. He sold it to the guy that I ended up working for. So Gary, who lived in the town, still came in. So he knew I had a background in art and basically gave me his card to come and intern at Marvel. So basically, the internship program at the time worked as college credit. So you get college credit for a semester working at the company. So for my last year of college, I was an intern at Marvel Comics. All right. Then...
Wait, so Wilson, before you continue, what were some of your, like, what were you doing as an intern? Like when you say I'm an intern at Marvel, like what were some of the things you did?
So basically the internship, as I mentioned, I'm in the conventions department. So we put together, and by we, the whole department, every time there was a convention Marvel had, the department was the one that was responsible for getting people there. Responsible for whatever promotions that was being handed out. We created all those promotions.
Cool.
So we had like staff t-shirts. That all was part of our department. And since I worked for the art director in that department, I was doing like poster designs. And we gave away a bunch of cards. Like there were giveaways pretty much. So the one that we gave out that was very popular was a Tom Lyle Spider-Man card that was printed through Fleer under the Masterworks edition. But we were the ones that actually hired the penciler, the inker, and the colorist for that project to get done. And then it was sent to Fleer for the actual printing of it. And then we gave those away everywhere at all the cons we went to. Because we wouldn't buy, like, independent guys, we would just buy for the next con coming up.
Yeah,
Marvel was buying for that year. Wow. So it was cards. It was plastic pins. Whatever promotion that was going on, as I mentioned before, posters. And we made sure that the art creative team was there. And if they were there, let's say we had the art creative team for the X-Men at the time, which would have been Andy Kubert. We would make sure not only is Andy there, but we also made sure that... his comic books were there. So we would have books given out. So one of my jobs was to make sure everybody that we had going to the convention would have a set of books. Because people will bring their own books. But we might have an artist there and you don't realize, oh, I didn't know he was coming to the show. I made sure you had something signed. So this way here, if you didn't bring a book, there was a book for you to get signed. Oh. That type of thing was... I was running around and making sure that the right books were out on the table and the giveaways were being taken care of. We even did giveaways of like the Daily Bugle newspaper. So we created a newspaper and we had articles in there for the purpose of the giveaway. It was just part of just everything that was going on. One I remember clearly is Iron Man had gotten the cartoon series. So we had... it was Iron Man and the Fantastic Four were coming out around the same time as cartoons. And we had articles there about the cartoon series, artwork and stuff like that. And we had members of the voiceover actors were at our table signing and stuff like that. So we had something for them to sign in the of this newspaper type thing. So it was all about promotions. And that was my main thing in college was advertising. That's what I wanted to do. So going there was like one of the best coolest things.
So Wilson, who wrote those articles? Did you guys write the articles too?
Yes, so that was written in-house. I know I did not write the article itself too, but you have to remember we were also creating stuff in advance, so that would have been written and we probably reprinted something that was going to also be used in Marvel Age, or back then Marvel it was Age. Even Marvel Vision. So we had access to all that stuff that was being done at the time. So it's just pulling things and using it from there. Again, Gary most likely wrote a lot of it because he was writing the press releases that we were handing out at the time. Anything that was printed in Wizard Magazine, Illustrator Magazine, Comics Buyer's Guide, that went through our office. So I would be the one running to the editor's offices to get artwork. So say, oh, we're going to advertise Spider-Man, whatever, in this book. We need artwork to represent that particular book. And because I'm an artist, I would be coloring those images. Again, it's so early in the production. There are no colored images yet. So anything that was in Wizard magazine for a short while, I was the one that colored that particular page.
That's awesome, dude. That's
so awesome. I was learning how to do color guides and stuff like that.
Wow. So your story is fascinating, but I want to know about, if you can go back a little, the first day that you walked into the offices of Marvel, what was that like? What brought you there? You know, what were you thinking in your mind? Tell us about that experience.
Okay. When I first went into Marvel, I had, that day was St. Patrick's Day.
You remember it. I love it.
I remember, yeah.
I love it.
My first day at Marvel was on St. Patrick's Day. The reason why I didn't go there any earlier, although I was supposed to start a few days beforehand, the 10th floor of the Marvel offices just went through renovations. So it was like, okay, come on Monday or whatever the day was. So I started on St. Patrick's Day. And this is the first time I ever even seen what Marvel looked like, because everything else was done even over the phones. Yeah. So my interview wasn't at the Marvel office. This is my first day going there. And I get there. You have to go in on the 10th floor. Marvel was 9, 10, 11, and 12, and 4 in this particular office space. I'm trying to remember. Yes, I went in on the 10th floor, but the offices for the conventions department was on the 9th floor. So I had to go in on the 10th floor because that's where the reception is. Sign in. And it's amazing because it's this book, and you can see the names of other people that have signed in, and they're all famous names.
Right.
Because everyone had to sign in.
Yeah.
The employees didn't, because they just swiped their card to go in, but I haven't started yet. I haven't gotten the card. So I'm putting my name down in a book that you could see Andy Kubert, Adam Kubert, John Romita Jr., you know, Scott Hanna, all these people that are dropping off
artwork or whatever.
You know, some of the writers would come in as well. And again, these are the things like, there's a time with fax machines are going on, so it smells like a paper office. There was a unique smell to it that I could only say that it was paper and ink, because everywhere was the copy machines and stuff like that. And again, overwhelming. Because you're going in, there are posters all over the place, and the only thing you really see is just this staircase when you first walk in, and that goes down to the 9th floor. So Gary comes up, brings me down to the 9th floor, and it looks like a normal office, except there's just cubicles everywhere and posters everywhere of just various Marvel characters. It was off-white walls with blue doors, and that was the floor. And it had like open spaces and what have you. And then go downstairs, and then Gary's office is just a regular, simple office, but again, with comic book stuff on the walls and comics everywhere. And again, overwhelming, but so exciting. And we took a quick tour through the bullpen.
I was going to ask you about the bullpen, bro.
So the bullpen's on the 10th floor. So we took a quick tour, but there was like some big deal going on. I never found out what it was, but it had to deal with contracts. And it was like everyone was around one person, and who was saying something was like, but why do I have to sign this? So I never found out what it was. I never found out exactly what it was, but it was one of those things where it's like, oh, okay. And then I got a quick tour of the place, the offices and stuff like that. And again, it's trying to remember everything. This is, you know, 30 years ago. And the thing is I clearly remember, one of the things I clearly remember is Tom DeFalco walking down the hall with Mark Gruenwald, and they're just talking. And this, and to me, it was like, it blew my mind, because this is the exact same scene I've seen before in Marvel Age magazine. But drawn by Rick Parker, because he used to do a little comic strip called The Boss. And it was just crazy little stories of Mark and Tom. And there they are. And Rick Parker's drawings are very rough. He did Beavis and Butthead and stuff like that. But you could tell who he was drawing. And it was like, I'm looking at a Marvel comic live in front of me. And to me, that was one of the most amazing things in connection. And then we go down back to Gary's floor, and he kind of tells me the things we're going to do. And I felt like I was only in there for 10 minutes. But a few hours went by, and it's like, okay, it's time for lunch. Now, remember what day it is, right?
Yeah.
St. Patrick's Day.
Right.
So we go to this local bar. That's the Marvel Bar at the time. And it went through different names, Johnny Fox's, Openers, and stuff like that. And that's where I met my boss's boss at the bar.
Right.
And I met basically everyone else that I would be working with at that bar. And I know we spent more than a lunchtime at that bar. So we come back to work. I do realize that there are some people that never got back to work from the bar. Because again, it's St. Patrick's Day. And it was like a really fun day that we didn't really get much work done because it was the introduction and it was that holiday. Right. So spent a lot of time at that bar. And I would jokingly say that I've spent more time drinking working at Marvel than I ever did in college. But it was just one of those things. And that was really my start and introduction was this fun group of people that were just all together. And again, never found out what that meeting was and what was being signed and stuff like that. But at the same time, it was like just this energy of the place.
Yeah.
A place that had comic book stuff all over the place. They had boxes of comics that you could just pick up and take. It was called the bins because, again, copies of the books would be sent to Marvel. People would get their comps, but not everybody kept everything. So they would get tossed into these bins.
Wow.
And again, this is back at a time where almost all the employees would get comics, but they're not all going to want to keep them. By the time I got onto the comp list, I took everything home with me. And that was mainly because, oh, I'm getting this stuff for free.
Yeah.
I'm going to read it all. And I read it all. Now, this is back in 93, 94. Yeah. And a lot of books were put out. A lot of really good ones and then just a lot of books. So for me, it was like, it was an amazing time. And the weird thing, on that first day, I run into Will Rosato. Mm. Will and I went to high school together. So he went to college, I went to college, but we both end up at Marvel the same day, but he's going to draw G.I. Joe. And I'm starting off as an intern. But, yeah, but again, it's still a really cool thing where it's like he's one of the people in my group from the High School of Art and Design was into comics. And you know that everyone who wants to do comics is going to do comics.
Yeah, that's true.
So I would say there's probably about five of us who went to art and design who still went into comics themselves.
Right.
You know, so, damn. And again, it was like, and as you guys know, comics is a really small world.
Oh, yeah.
So we all know each other, run into each other.
Yeah.
You know, because I went to high school with Will Rosato, Jamal Igel, and Daphne Lang.
Wow. Yeah.
So true, Daphne. That's how I know Jose.
Right.
So there's one more of us, and I can't remember the name right now. But again, there's like five of us from Art and Design who, got into comics
that way.
That's
freaking awesome, dude. And so go ahead, Wilson. Go ahead.
Well, and I was gonna say it's like everything that I learned in college, a lot of that stuff I did use at Marvel, especially making. Again, pre-computer, paste-up mechanicals, things like that, where that's what I learned in school to do. I did it at Marvel, especially that first year. As far as drawing comics is concerned and working in comics, it wasn't until I was actually working in comics. That is a whole different art style than what I learned in school.
Right.
And it's like with comics, the only way to learn comics is to actually do comics.
Yeah.
Right there and then.
Yeah. That's true.
That's fascinating. So then, you got there, you were part of the team, the promotional team. At what point did you start coloring? What was your first project?
Okay, so as far as coloring is concerned, the first thing that I was doing was, as I mentioned, we had a magazine called Marvel Vision, which is what Marvel Age kind of mutated into, and it became a catalog. Right. So a lot of the artwork that was in that catalog, I was hired to do a bunch of them. So there would be covers and stuff like that. As I mentioned before, Wizard Magazine or Comics Buyer's Guide, a lot of the artwork that was used in there, I did coloring for. Nice. My first real hired work did not come until later when, I mean, I got paid for those projects as well. Mm-hmm. But real comic book work would be Ghost Rider 2099. The very last issue of that book, I colored a pinup in it. But this was already after I was hired to be working at Marvel. I briefly cut the fact that the conventions department, eventually that department was let go. So I was fired in that portion. But then again, I wasn't because I was an intern. So I was technically allowed to come back. I came back a week later to be told, technically, you were fired as part of that group. So I was fired twice from Marvel within a week span.
Damn. Oh, man. Go back to the bar.
I was able to do a interview for an opening position on the 10th floor, which was for art returns. And so that night, I'm typing out my resume because it was a Thursday when I came in to find out I was truly fired. But my boss's boss went to bat for me and suggested, hey, why doesn't Wilson go ahead and interview? So I still had to do the process, of course, and interview with the freelance liaison, who was the person I would be working under in the art returns department. And what art returns was, is what it sounds like. I returned the original artwork back to the artist after the books were seen print. So the artwork could not be returned until the book was printed. So about a month after the book was printed, I would receive the artwork, split it between the penciler and inker, and return the art. So I was able to interview for that job, and I was able to get the job, not because my boss's boss recommended me, is because I worked in the toy in a comic book shop and I worked in a toy shop. Because I dealt with money, that was the indicator that I could be trusted to work with original artwork. Because if I was going to take anything, I would be taking money over artwork.
Yeah, so, artwork, right.
You know, that was the thing, because the art now worth a whole lot more than it did back then. And that's where I got my job to work at the Marvel offices, and I was there for 10 years. Doing art returns or something related to art returns, because at that time we didn't get promotions, we just basically got more work to do. So by the time I left Marvel, I was overseeing art returns, I was overseeing the creation of the Marvel Dam, which was a digital archives. I ran the library itself, and a whole bunch of other little departments went under me by that time. But now, that's basically condensing 10 years of my life there at Marvel. But the coloring work, as I mentioned, was Ghost Rider 2099. I got that job on a Friday night. I was still there, and one of the editors came by and said, hey, do you want to do a pinup? Because he knew I did coloring already. I said, yeah. And over the weekend, I colored Ghost Rider 2099. I did the color guides on that, and they liked it. It got printed in the book, but that was also the last issue of the series.
Do you have that issue, Will? Do you have it?
I still have that issue, and I still have that piece of art. I've sold a ton of my colored guides. But I still have that particular one.
Good for you, man.
And then from there, it was like being at the office and being someone who would stay late. I got a lot of freelance work like that too, because something would pop in and it's like, oh, we need someone to color this or color that. So I got to work on Deadpool, colored Wolverine, colored Thor, colored an X-Men series called Dark Bloods or something like that, or Dark, Dark Bloods was one of my books. It was Dark Something was an X-Men series that I got to color. And the only time I got to really color Spider-Man was part of a Juggernaut one-shot, because the mail lost the original color guide.
So you had to come in and fill it.
So it was like, could you do this book over the weekend? It's a 48-page book.
Wow.
So I got it on a Friday. Now, this is coloring, this is before computer coloring, so I'm doing color guides It's a little quicker to do color guides.
It is? Oh, okay.
It is. Especially, and again, this 48 pages has to be done by Monday, no matter what.
That's great.
So I got to color that whole book and Juggernaut number one. Does it have my name in it? No, it still has the older colorist because they didn't change the credits on there in time. And that's been a lot of things with freelance anyway. So would you rather have your money, have the check have the correct name? Or would you want the book to have the correct name?
There you go.
That's a good point. That's a good point.
So that's how I see it, and I can live with it in that sense.
I hear you. Wilson, listen, man, I feel like we can talk to you for like an hour, dude. We're running on the clock because we have an 8 o'clock coming up. But dude, would you come back like on a live show and maybe just tell us more about, because I want to get into obviously your other part of the career, which is your indie, in the indie world that you're in. And I definitely want to,
Your story's fascinating, bro.
Yeah, dude.
Yeah, I'll definitely do it. You know, between this Jose show and Jared Osborne, I've been playing a lot on YouTube. So I'll be more than happy to come back, man.
We got to do this live, and then maybe we can have stuff from the audience, just questions and stuff like that.
Sure. I'll be happy to do that. Yep.
Awesome, Wilson. Thank you, my brother.
Thanks for having me.
This was Wilson Ramos Jr. We're not done. He will be back. But thank you for coming, brother. We'll talk to you soon.
Of course.
You got it, brother.
All right. Take care.
Oof. So, that was Wilson Ramos. And this was another episode of Catch the Craze Podcast, guys. If you like this episode, please give us a thumbs up if you haven't done so already. Subscribe, share it with a friend. If you have any questions for Wilson, let us know. If there's some things you'd like us to ask when we bring them back, let us know. That's pretty dope. And don't forget, pledge to the Adventures of Wonder Duck, which is going on right now on Kickstarter. Let's get those stretch goals unlocked. And don't forget to sign up for Disneyland in My Toilet. With that said, I'm Sam the Crazy Man Vera.
George the Dreamer Medina.
And we are
out. It's just easy. It does not.
Crazy.
I was talking about my friend Acquiesce. I met him.
Say my name. Say my name.
This is what you were thinking?
He described me. He said, I'm the idiot.
You're listening to Catch the Craze. You're listening to Catch the Craze. You are listening to Catch the Craze.
Catch the Craze.
You're listening to Catch the Craze.